Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And one of the things that makes this such a great nation was a great, big, huge surprise that emerged out of Philadelphia in the very hot, sweltering, humid summer of 1787. What big surprise? Generally, human experience teaches that when a committee tries to invent something, it very rarely turns into a masterpiece. But there's a committee of people. They're all people with substantial egos. They are successful, some of them very successful, some of them world famous. Some of them brilliant, some of them not so brilliant. There are 55 people who were called together at one point or another to participate in a constitutional convention to invent an entirely new scheme of government for a new nation, the United States of America. 11 years after declaring independence, all of a sudden the Articles of Confederation that had bound the nation together up till that point weren't working anymore. So they came together to change everything. And the result, out of lots of conflict and lots of compromise, was a masterpiece. That is what constituted the miracle of the Constitution. In this very special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, we cover the miracle of the Constitution, following as best we can the debates, the conflicts, the close calls, the amazing providential protection that appears to have led to a charter of government that has worked remarkably well for the United States of America. We had 12 of the states all participating, all debating in a very spirited way some very fundamental changes. One of the changes that was most important that the delegates all knew they had to make was to create a federal executive. What was amazing about the Articles of Confederation is there was no executive. People were allergic to the idea of a king. That hadn't worked out so well, they thought, in terms of what was going on back in Britain. So they tried during the Articles of Confederation basically just to have Congress leading the whole way. One House of Congress, the Confederation Congress. Well, now they had to set up an executive. But there were some people who were very afraid that if you had one executive, it would be too much power in the hands of one individual. So they talked about having two, or some people even three, presidents, with the idea that if those presidents were fighting against each other, it would curb their power, it would avoid having some kind of overwhelming power concentrated in the hands of one individual. The folks who argued for one president and only one pointed to the guy sitting in the front of the room. He was on a little raised platform behind a little desk. He said almost nothing during most of the meetings of the Constitutional Convention. His name was Washington. He was from Mount Vernon, Virginia. And he was the most admired man by far, along with Dr. Franklin, who was also there. He was the most admired man by far in the 13 states and the 12 states represented there at the convention. The point being that folks trusted George Washington. They knew that he was going to be the first president. And so they agreed when they voted, okay, we're going to have only one president. Another hot issue that divided the delegates, aside from the issues of slavery, which we've talked about a little bit, another hot issue was whether or not people would get paid for serving in Congress. A number of individuals felt, wait a minute, we shouldn't be paying people. Otherwise, what will happen is Congress will vote increases in its own salary. They'll vote more and more and more. And people will want to come to Congress in order to get rich. But the other side argued that, wait, if we pay nothing to people, then that will limit service in Congress to people who are independently wealthy already. And it will mean that honest working people will have no chance if they have to pay their own expenses to travel great distances, and travel was difficult at that time. So they voted after a spirited debate. Yes, they were going to be able to pay members of Congress. There was one issue that they simply couldn't resolve. And that was the most important issue over which the Constitutional Convention nearly broke up on several occasions. Very, very heated debate. The issue was, how is Congress going to be arranged? The Confederation Congress had only one vote per state, so that the smallest state, Georgia, had the same number of votes as the largest state, Virginia. Each one got only one. And you needed nine votes to get anything done. As a result, almost nothing got done. The big states, led by Virginia with the Virginia Plan, wanted to replace that idea of one vote per state with proportional representation, having each state wield as much power as its percentage of the population. In other words, if a state was twice as big, it would have twice as many members of Congress. Seemed to make sense to them. The small states said, no, that will allow the three big states, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, to absolutely dominate, and it will take away our sovereignty and our right to function. This was a huge issue, and it remained an issue after they had decided we're going to have two different houses of Congress, not one. And then they voted that the lower house, the most representative house, the House of Representatives, that would be apportioned the way Virginia wanted, according to population. But the small states absolutely resisted the idea that the upper house of the legislature, which later came to be called the Senate, would also be apportioned by population. They insisted there should be one senator or just two senators for every individual state. This was going to be necessary. And the arguments raged back and forth, and there were strong points, obviously, made on both sides. James Wilson of Pennsylvania, who, by the way, dominated the debates at the Constitutional Convention, he is one of our crucial founding fathers. He also helped writing the Declaration of Independence. He is almost not remembered today, but he was brilliant. He spoke on the floor of the convention during the summer of 1787 168 times, more than Madison, more than Franklin, more than Hamilton, more than anyone else. And one of the things he said regarding this, he said, why should a national government be unpopular? Has it less dignity? Will each citizen enjoy under it less liberty or protection? Will a citizen of Delaware be degraded by becoming a citizen of the United States? He resisted the idea that what Congress should be was basically just a federation of states. Congress and the federal government, according to James Wilson's view, should be a superior government with the ability to overrule the states, even in determinations that the states made in the legislative level locally. But this was not at all approved by delegates from, well, for instance, New Jersey. The leader for what was called the New Jersey Plan, which was a plan of having apportionment one vote per state, was a delegate named Patterson. And William Patterson was an appropriate guy to be an advocate for small states because he was a small guy. He was barely 5'2". And Patterson basically argued that they had not been sent there to abolish state sovereignty. He said, we are met here as the deputies of 13 independent sovereign states for federal purposes. Can we consolidate their sovereignty and form one nation and annihilate the sovereignties of our states who have sent us here for other purposes? The people of America are sharp-sighted, said William Patterson. And not to be deceived, the idea of a national government as contradistinguished from a federal one never entered into the mind of any of them. To which Caledonia James, that was the nickname they gave James Wilson because of his thick Scottish burr, he said, can we forget for whom we are forming a government? Is it for men or for the imaginary beings called states? Are not the citizens of Pennsylvania equal to those of New Jersey? Does it require 150 of the former to balance 50 of the latter? He said, if the small states will not confederate on this plan, Pennsylvania, and I presume some other states, will not confederate on any other. They were willing to break apart the Union over this issue. How is it resolved? And how did more of a spirit of compromise and cooperation take hold at the convention? Well, it involved, in part, a number of factors. One of them, the 4th of July, The other, a religious plea from a very old man. And the other, the weather. We'll tell you all about that with the continued story of the miracle of the Constitution.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, the story of the miracle of the Constitution, which is an account of how it is that a bunch of squabbling, sometimes bitterly bickering delegates came together in Philadelphia in a steamy, humid, difficult summer of 1787, where they were bothered enormously by bugs. Apparently, Philadelphia at the time had large and horrible mosquitoes. And the only way to keep them out, because they hadn't really invented screens at the time, was basically to keep the windows closed. And they kept the windows at Independence Hall, what was called then the State House in Philadelphia. They kept the windows closed and the drapes and the shutters. Why? Because the proceedings of the convention were secret. They didn't want the press, any of the 12 newspapers that were functioning in Philadelphia at the time, to find out what they were debating about. They certainly didn't want people to know how close they were to breaking apart the entire convention. William Paterson of New Jersey, putting forward the New Jersey plan, which was basically we apportion Congress. Basically, all of it should be apportioned. One vote per state, no state having an advantage by population. James Wilson of Pennsylvania and James Madison of Virginia and Edmund Randolph of Virginia all fighting for the Virginia plan, which was the apportionment should be by population. So what do you do? The obvious step was, since you have two houses of Congress, was what was called the Connecticut plan. Old Roger Sherman, who next to Benjamin Franklin was the oldest member of the convention, he had written, helped to write, the Articles of Confederation. He had been there for the Declaration of Independence. Now he was there for the Constitution. He basically, even though he represented a small state, said, look, we've got to get together on this. We've got two houses of Congress. Let's split the difference. You do one house with a one vote per state or two votes per state, the same number of votes per state, and you do the other house based on population. But at this point, the two sides were both too passionately invested in their own arguments for apportionment to consider the Connecticut Compromise. So they said, oh, very nice, old man, Roger Sherman, you've made the suggestion. And they went on to their arguments. The core argument was this. Was this going to be a national government or a federal government? Were the members of Congress going to represent states, or were they going to represent voters in the states in their function as citizens of a federal government? James Wilson, in particular, argued passionately that he was not a citizen of Pennsylvania. He was a resident of Pennsylvania. He was a citizen of the United States. This was very, very controversial. And things took a turn for the worst when one member of the convention, who was a notorious drunk, and when I say notorious drunk, I mean brawls, showing up to sessions drunk. He was also a brilliant lawyer. His name was Luther Martin. He was a delegate from Maryland, a small state. And Luther Martin got up and gave a three-hour harangue. And it was early in the morning, and he was already, as they say, three sheets to the wind, apparently. It was apparently the most unpleasant speech of the whole convention, because he was very angry, he was very incoherent, he was very soused. And then he said chilling words as they were getting ready to adjourn, which is, I haven't been able to finish, I'll grab the floor tomorrow when we resume. This speech enraged a lot of the big state delegates, because he was accusing them of all sorts of bad will. And they began to think, well, maybe it wouldn't be so terrible if Virginia and Massachusetts and Pennsylvania, all representing three different regions of the country, if those three big states went their own way with a majority of the population in the 13 states and leave the other states to fend for themselves. Well, sensing that contempt, Gunning Bedford of Delaware, who was one of the least vocal and least known of all the delegates, he was a one-time Princeton classmate of James Madison, the scholarly, diminutive, frail little Virginian who was in many ways the intellectual father of what became the Constitution. Gunning Bedford of Delaware stood up, and then he electrified the session. Why? Because he said this. He said, he accused the big states of bad faith. He said, they insist they never will hurt or injure the lesser states. I do not, gentlemen, trust you. And when he said he didn't trust the big states, people were shocked. There were boos and murmurs. He said, where is your plighted faith? Will you crush the smaller states? If those threatened states form their own confederation, the fault will be yours. and all the nations of the earth will justify us. The large states dare not dissolve the Confederation. If they do, the small ones will find some foreign ally of more honor and good faith to take them by the hand and do them justice. I say this not to threaten or intimidate. If we once leave this floor and solemnly renounce your new project, what will be the consequence? You will annihilate your federal government and ruin must stare you in the face. There were people who stood up, were walking to the doors. They were horrified. The convention was very close to breaking up. There was serious talk of people leaving the convention, going home, whole state delegations deserting. In fact, in New York, the state delegation was so upset with the way that things were going toward a strong federal government, a strong central government, that of the three delegates from New York, two of them went home. They walked out. They wanted none of this Constitution. The only one who stayed was named Alexander Hamilton, and he played an important role in the convention. At this point, there were factors that began to prevail to cool down the events. On June 28th, Dr. Franklin, the most respected member of the convention next to Washington, decided to speak. Now, most of the time when he spoke, his legs were unsteady. He was 81 years old. His voice was thin. He didn't deliver his own speeches. He handed a text to James Wilson, Caledonia James, and James Wilson read it out in his ringing Scots burr. But this time, on June 28th, Dr. Franklin thought it was so important that he apparently delivered the speech himself. James Madison later copied it down based on Franklin's own text. Here's what Dr. Franklin said. He said, "The small progress we have made and the melancholy proof of the imperfection of human understanding are shown by that progress. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of lights," meaning God, of course, "to illuminate our understandings? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And we have now forgotten that powerful friend." How did they remember that powerful friend? Coming up in the continuing story of the miracle of the Constitution.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. The Federal Reserve on Wednesday raised its benchmark interest rate to the highest level in 15 years, indicating the fight against inflation is not over. Despite some promising signs lately, keeping with expectations, the rate-setting Federal Open Market Committee voted to boost the overnight borrowing rate 0.5 percentage point, taking it to a targeted rate between 4.25% and 4.5%. Stocks have fallen. Investors fear a recession is looming. The retail sales report disappointed. disappointed as well. The Dow has been down by more than 900 points at times today. The clock is ticking for you to get your holiday packages into the U.S. mail.
The U.S. Postal Service says this Saturday, the 17th, is the latest you can send packages by its cheapest service, Retail Ground, and be assured they'll arrive by Christmas. I'm Tim Berg.
And I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Listening to the music of William Billings, who was a composer in Boston at the time of the American Revolution, he wrote that church hymn, A Chester, which was later adopted as the marching song of the Continental Army for the American Revolution. And Chester, of course, had frequent references to God and God's protection. The end of the first verse is New England's God forever reigns. And that was a message that Benjamin Franklin tried to deliver to the Constitutional Convention. That's the subject of this very special broadcast of the Medved Show, The Miracle of the Constitution. With the delegates at each other's throats, with the small states ready to walk out, unable to decide how Congress should be arranged and apportioned, Benjamin Franklin stood up and gave one of the most dramatic speeches of the convention. It was a speech pleading for prayer. And why would that be? Benjamin Franklin was not known to be a deeply pious man. He was very unconventional in his religious ideas. He had a lot of deistic religious ideas. But he understood that belief in God and belief in divine providence, which virtually all of the revolutionary figures of greatness seemed to share, that that belief helped put disputes like the disputes that they were undergoing at the convention into perspective. He concluded his remarks at the convention by saying, "I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this," said Benjamin Franklin. "And I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom, and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of the city be requested to officiate in that service. Now, this was a remarkable moment, and there were many, many members of the convention who were nodding in agreement and feeling moved by what Dr. Franklin had said. Dr. Franklin, by the way, was so infirm at this time that he couldn't walk the few blocks from his home in Philadelphia to Independence Hall, the State House, where the convention was being held. He was carried in a sedan chair, and the sedan chair was not carried by slaves. Dr. Franklin was very, very anti-slavery. It was carried by prisoners. He had helped to start an experimental penal institution, a prison, whereby they rehabilitated the prisoners by having them work. And there were four of the prisoners who worked by carrying Dr. Franklin to the Constitutional Convention and around the city of Philadelphia on a sedan chair. Everyone respected him. Everyone loved him. No one wanted to approve his resolution. Why not? Because they weren't religious? No. Because they were broke. There was no money in the Constitutional Convention to go ahead and provide for paying ministers. There was also an objection that was raised by Alexander Hamilton. Hamilton said that if they suddenly started calling ministers in, people would know that they were close to breaking up, and the newspapers would get wind of it, and rumor would run rampant. And so there was a decision. It was actually suggested by Edmund Randolph. Rather than having prayers every day, he suggested that there be a special sermon that they would all attend, and George Washington led the way, on the 4th of July, which was coming up in just 6 days. They would celebrate the 4th of July, they would hear a sermon about God's will, and then, one hoped, they would come back and be able to work out this fundamental disagreement that threatened to split the big states from the small states and to shatter the Union. So how did it work out? Well, before they had a chance to hear that sermon, before they had a chance to celebrate the 4th of July, the 11th anniversary of independence, there was a crucial vote that looked like it was going to go wrong and lead once and for all to the breakup of attempts to form a new government under the Constitution. What happened? An inexplicable stroll saved the day. We'll tell you how that worked out and more with a special broadcast, The Miracle of the Constitution.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
After 40 years, an aging English couple reunites with the gay, artistic, free spirit who complicated their marriage from its very beginning in the sad, intense look back at forbidden love in the 1950s. With Harry Styles playing a very divided officer of the law, it's called My Policeman. Now playing in theaters and soon streaming on Amazon Prime.
This love is all-consuming. Come with me, just you and I.
He's trying to destroy our marriage.
That's Emma Corrin, who's particularly good as the confused young wife. But the film is generally undermined by the fact that the older performers don't resemble the younger versions of themselves at all. Based on a popular novel, My Policeman is rated a strong R, with many lavish and graphic scenes of gay sex. It's easy to admire the movie's skill, but tough to warm up from the chill from these tormented characters and their divided lives. 2 stars for My Policeman.
Special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, The Miracle of the Constitution. And this broadcast is partially inspired by a wonderful book from literally more than 50 years ago. It's a book by an author named Catherine Drinker Bowen, who wrote a book called A Miracle in Philadelphia. And partially, the material here that I'm presenting is taken from her book, which is in turn taken from the notes of the Constitutional Convention, the copious notes that were written down by James Madison, who kept records of everything. And Catherine Drinker Bowen notes that Benjamin Franklin's beautiful speech, his intervention to beg for prayer, a plea, by the way, that was not heeded. Yes, they were going to go hear a sermon on the 4th of July, but they didn't have the money to pay for daily prayer. That Franklin's intervention succeeded in calling an assembly of doubting minds to a realization that Destiny herself sat as guest and witness in this room. He reminded the delegates that in the same room they had written and approved the Declaration of Independence that had started this country 11 years before. Now they were engaged in the very, very serious business of trying to structure a new government that would work better for this nation. And they saw the whole world looking upon them as an example and a possible inspiration for how people could govern themselves. The problem is that as they reassembled, they took up breaks every Sunday because most of the delegates were religious people. And they reassembled on Monday morning, July 2nd, right before the 4th of July. And they were finally going to vote on a proposal by the small states, led by Connecticut and New Jersey, that the Senate, the upper house, would grant two votes for every state. No state would have more votes based upon bigger population or greater wealth. Whatever the controversies, whatever the surprises in the world around us at the moment, it's important to get some perspective, and no better source of perspective than the history of this great country. At MedvedHistoryStore.com, check out some of the titles we have on offer about the Constitution, about the origins of our tax system, about the history of third parties, about the question of whether America really is a Christian or is it a secular nation. There's a trick answer to that trick question. Enrich your understanding and appreciation with CDs and MP3 downloads at MedvedHistoryStore.com. Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately, I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is... you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
This is the Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
And they were finally going to vote on a proposal by the small states led by Connecticut, New Jersey, that the Senate, the upper house, would grant two votes for every state. No state would have more votes based upon bigger population or greater wealth. The big states, led by James Madison of Virginia and Edmund Randolph of Virginia and James Wilson of Pennsylvania, were confident that they had the vote with some of their cooperation that they received from some other small states to block this from going through. Basically, they were very confident, and they were ready to vote it down. If they voted it down, the small states, led by Delaware and New Jersey, and delegates from Maryland, the small states were going to walk out, and it would have been an ugly situation. All of it came down to one man, a mysterious figure who, together with Roger Sherman of Connecticut and Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania, was one of the wise old men of the convention. At age 64, a lifelong bachelor named Daniel of St. Thomas Jennifer ended up deciding the fate of the United States. Now, who was this guy? We don't know that much about him. There are two big mysteries about him. One is, where did he get that aristocratic-sounding middle name of St. Thomas Jennifer? He was referred to as Daniel Jennifer, but really he signed his name on the Constitution as Daniel of St. Thomas Jennifer. He was a wealthy man. He owned an 800-acre plantation. Lifelong bachelor, he left the plantation to a distant relative. He left his famous library, he had a huge library, to his close friend James Madison. And in his will, he also arranged to free his remaining 22 slaves within 6 years of his death, which was 3 years after the Constitution was drafted. But here was the story. Because of his friendship with Madison, Daniel of St. Thomas Jennifer was a strong government a pro-big states guy. He wanted everything distributed, not one vote per state, but everything apportioned and people becoming citizens of the United States, of a federal government, not just citizens of a state, and the states would come together in a federation. So he traditionally had always voted with the big states. The problem was he recognized that if he voted that way, there were two delegates from Maryland. There was Luther Martin, the drunk, who was going to vote against any big state federal plan that would concentrate power in the national government, that if Luther Martin voted his way and he voted his way, then Maryland's vote would be canceled. That's the way they did it. If there were only two delegates and there were only two Maryland delegates left, Daniel of St. Thomas, Jennifer, and Luther Martin, they would cancel each other out, and the mission, the move to actually apportion the Senate the way it ended up being apportioned, that would be defeated. So something extraordinary happened. And no one at the time could explain it. Daniel of St. Thomas Jennifer had been one of the most reliable, one of the most genial delegates. He was a very elegant guy. He loved fancy clothes and fine wines and basically was friendly with everybody. And he was also there for every important vote. But all of a sudden, this most important vote of the convention, where James Madison is pushing, now we're going to apportion the Senate the same way we do the House. All of a sudden, he got up before the vote and left the room. No one knows where he went. He went out into the street and didn't come back for a half hour until the vote was over. And because he was gone, Luther Martin cast the vote for Maryland. And the vote for Maryland was yes for this plan of apportioning the Senate so each state got its separate vote. People were angry. James Wilson and the other people were pushing for the other side. And Daniel of St. Martin, Jennifer, comes back in. He had basically taken a fall for the team. He understood that his point of view had to lose in this vote to keep the convention together. His inexplicable stroll and missing a crucial vote saved the convention. What happened was there was a tie vote. It was 5-5 of the states that had enough votes to be decided. And right after that tie vote, there was a move by General Charles Cotesworth Pinckney of South Carolina to appoint a committee to resolve this, which basically meant they were going to go for the Connecticut Compromise. And everybody was swept up because of this tie with the move, okay, we have to placate the small states. And then they voted, they appointed the committee. The committee included Dr. Franklin. The committee included someone, Abraham Baldwin from Georgia, who was in favor of that compromise. And then they were going to move to the 4th of July. Because the 4th of July, they were all going to take time off. How did the 4th of July help to further save the convention? We will get to that aspect of the story, the miracle of the Constitution, coming right up. This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. My kid brother Harry recently unearthed an old photograph showing me as a baby, held proudly by my great-grandfather Samuel Idstein. He was close to 90 at the time, having left Germany with his family just before World War II. Now, neither he nor his 6 children ever attended college, but all of his grandchildren did, becoming educators, research scientists, doctors, and rabbis. America made the difference. And this story is typical, not exceptional. Countless immigrant families have built lives their ancestors could have scarcely imagined. Here, a great-granddaughter of a slave can win a Nobel Prize, or the grandson of an illiterate railroad worker can become a CEO. Rather than despairing over recent history, we should review family history that reminds us we live in a land of miracles that deserves our protection through exercising our precious right to vote. I'm Michael Medved. It's 6 a.m. It's July 4th, a sultry summer day, as usual, in Philadelphia, and it's 1787. And at 6 a.m., the city's militia fires its first celebratory blast into the air, waking everyone up. And then the artillery came, using all available field pieces to deliver 3x13 rounds of booming cannon fire. That was meant as a triple huzzah to honor all 13 states of the Union. The celebrations in the town for the 4th of July were extraordinary and lavish, and people were happy because they knew that a constitutional convention was going on. They knew nothing about the fact that it had come within moments of breaking up, had come within one stroll of actually breaking apart. And all of a sudden, the delegates came together, led by George Washington, to the Reformed Calvinist Church to hear a sermon as had been promised by Edmund Randolph at the convention, and the patriotic orator was James Campbell, who said, "Methinks I already see the stately fabric of a free and vigorous government rising out of the wisdom of the Federal Convention." And that night, there was heavy drinking, as there almost always was at that era in the American Republic. And in Philadelphia, they had toasts, one typical toast to the Federal Convention. "May the result of their meeting be as glorious as its members are illustrious." Across the river in New Jersey, they toasted the Grand Convention. "May they form a constitution for an eternal republic." The delegates came back after the 4th of July, and they had a huge demonstration of fireworks that night in Philadelphia. And they were determined to work everything out. They put into place the Connecticut Compromise. Yes, we would have a Senate where each state would have the same number of votes, giving great power, disproportionate power, to the small states. And yes, we'd have a House of Representatives where the big states would dominate. And part of what changed was the weather. The delegates came back and they voted final approval to the committee's solution to their most intractable dilemma. Catherine Drinker Bowen speculates that perhaps the delegates never would have reached agreement had not the heat broken. The weather changed. God cooperated, heard the prayers of Benjamin Franklin and others. There were fewer complaints about the heat and how difficult it was. And for the remaining weeks of the Constitutional Convention, they were determined to work everything out. But they still had a huge fight before them. The fight to win ratification of this new Constitution. They had to take it back to the states and get the states to agree. How was that fight won? How was that achievement accomplished? That is part of the story. An amazing and ultimately inspiring story, the miracle of the Constitution. We'll continue that tale as a part of the tribute to the founding charter of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
That's all the time we have for today for part three of the Miracle of the Constitution program. Go to MedVedHistoryStore.com.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please, don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.